Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, you're a doctor. And you keep seeing this woman around the hospital that you work in. And she's not another doctor. But she starts like looking at your doctor work being like, oh, interesting. And then like kind of needling you about it is like kind of a dick to you, but in like a flirty way. So you're into it. But you never see her outside of the hospital. And then one day you're just like coming back to the hospital late at night for some reason. And she is on the operating table. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
Ooh.
Is anyone operating on her or is she just laying?
No, she is being operated on. Yes. Something is happening.
So now I am getting like a spooky like ghost vibe out of body experience, but now that I'm thinking about it, it could be that she was just in the hospital before her operation.
Oh yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be supernatural, I guess.
No, but you like you've seen her around for months. She's there all the time.
Uh-huh. And then she got sick and needed an operation.
And you have like a flirty relationship with her. Yeah. So, I think the question is like how do you bring this up to her? Do you
You intend to have a further relationship with this woman?
Are you able to like I know this is like not kosher, but are you able to, like, go up and, like, spy on the operation? Like, what kind of operation is she getting?
I mean, you can. You can do whatever you want. You can spy on the operation. You can dig through her medical files. You have full reign of the hospital.
Look, it's not good. You shouldn't do this, but I would spy on the operation. Or I would maybe not spy on the operation, but, like, I would look at her medical files.
Okay. You would do both?
I think I would look at the medical files. I would, like, go close enough to the operation and do enough spying to know it's her.
Yeah, and this is, I'm guessing, Patrick, this is an observation room situation, like a junior mints room?
Yeah, exactly. junior mints room. Exactly.
So I think I would watch, because you're allowed to watch.
Right, certain. Anyone can watch.
Well, okay.
Well, I mean, you're not a surgeon, right? Are you a surgeon in this scenario?
Ryan, are you a surgeon?
I think you're just a hot Dr. Kyle.
I think you're just a hot Dr. Kyle.
Ah, so you can't like scrub in under the pretense of like, I'm going to assist.
He does anything. He does everything that Roswell Medical needs. Roswell General, I think, or whatever it's called.
But I think it would be insane if
it would be insane to scrub it. It's insane to scrub in on a surgery you have nothing to do with. That's just like
this is some Dr. Death shit. You should not be doing that.
No, do not do that.
Like, you're just like, hey, I could. Yeah, it looks like you guys could use another set of hands.
What?
So what's going on with this beautiful stranger?
Okay, here's what I think you do in a fairly normal way, is you watch the surgery, or like watch long enough to see kind of like what's up, like what kind of surgery it is, and then I think you visit her in recovery.
Sure.
And just be like, and admit, I saw you on the operating table. I didn't know. How are you? Like, you know, do you want to talk about it?
It's tough. It's tough because she's never volunteered any, like, and anytime, like, you've joked about it before that you're like, oh, I only ever see you at the hospital. And she's like, yeah, maybe I'm a ghost or something. Like, she always deflects it in, like, some, like, ironic, shitty way. So, like, you can tell she does not want to tell you about anything.
So you do want to date her.
You do want to date her.
But, like, okay, so you see her, you assume she's, like, associated with the hospital, like, mm-hmm. a doctor. Or
she tells you her dad, and I think you have reason to believe this is true, her dad's the head of the, like, dean of the hospital. What do you call that job?
Whatever. I don't know, head of medicine?
Yeah, head of medicine, probably.
Head of medicine. Like, her dad is that job, is what she tells you. So, like, that's why she says she's around.
What, she's, like, bringing dad lunch all the time? What's she doing? Why she?
I mean, she doesn't give you details every time, but, like, that's her excuse. That's what she uses as, I'm at the hospital. My dad's the head of surgery or head of medicine.
Right. And you've taken all of, like, her deflections to be part of, like, the aggressive flirtiness.
Right.
Like, the shitting on you kind of flirting. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. No, it's like I'm giving you shit and, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. It's TV flirting is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in real life, you just avoid those people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, in real life, someone does that to you.
This person just said to me?
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck?
Like, all right, I guess you don't want me around. I'll just not engage with you anymore.
Yeah, I just feel like if someone I didn't know was, like, outwardly rude to me, I wouldn't be like, oh, we're flirting. I would be like, okay, I guess we're enemies. Like, I don't.
Yeah, but, like, okay. But it's also in a world where everyone is super hot.
No, it's true. In that case, then that goes the other way. I instantly assume flirting.
If you're super hot, I assume anything you say to me is flirting.
Yeah. Like, if you're hot, I'm hot, everyone here is hot.
So, but does it ever reach a point where you are like, I'm going to go, I'm going to check her records.
Kelly, that's the first thing she's
checking. That's the first thing I do.
But then you like make secret plans to try to cure her without her knowing it.
Well, that's weird.
Okay, that's a lot of steps. I feel like just
it's a lot of steps. The show is a lot.
The step of looking at her medical records, I think, is a violation.
Oh, absolutely, it's a violation.
Oh, I think it's all. You're in a hospital. I think you know what you're getting into. Those doctors are all spreading that shit around.
You literally, there's literally laws to stop this.
It's called a HIPAA violation.
It's called a HIPAA violation.
Between doctors.
Okay, how about this? You look at you see the thing happening. You see the operation. Mm-hmm. You look up the medical records, and it's she has a terminal disease.
Okay.
What is your approach? Do you talk to her about it?
Because now you know, and you shouldn't have looked it up to begin with.
Right. Yeah. She didn't tell you.
I would go in there and, like, give her, like, smoldering eyes and be like, you will dance at your wedding.
What?
And then marry her?
And then marry her.
What is this? Walk to Remember?
It's a Lost scenario.
It is I have flipped it to Lost.
Wait, okay.
I mean, honestly, okay. I think that's better than what the show did.
I think what you could do also is like at least what I would do, once I found that out, I think I would come clean and be like, I know I really shouldn't have done this. And that's really bad, and I'm sorry, but, like, I looked at your medical records, and just because I saw you on the operating table, and I was worried, and, like, that's really shitty. You never have to talk to me again, but, like, know that I want to help you. And it truly is up to them, right, to decide if they want whatever weird experimental treatment that you're heralding. Like, I don't know why you know about this treatment that the world doesn't, but...
You know that you have access to alien DNA.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, I mean it.
Shit. Well, then, oh my god.
Yeah, way to bury the lead.
Scratch that.
Right.
I'm not fucking telling her shit.
Right. So, like, first, do no harm. But, like, do you have to? But there's also real ethical issues with healing people without telling them.
Mm.
Sure.
Because we're also not talking about, like, control studies. This is not like it went through.
No.
Anything. So, like. You could heal her and then she could get powers or something. You don't know.
Okay, but you do know, though, that the alien DNA will heal her.
Probably. What you know is that you have seen this alien technology or magic or whatever bring someone back from the dead.
Okay.
Two people.
So yes. This is where I maybe become a villain. Ooh. But I think
you murder her.
Yep. I murder her and I bring her back. No, I think I don't tell her shit and I heal her. I don't know if I can continue having a relationship with her.
Yeah.
But I think I like, because then the like, it's just weird. And I don't think I could ever keep something like that secret for that long and blah, blah, blah. But I think I would heal her and then like maybe break up with her. She'll get over it, or not break up because you're not even together.
Yeah. Never get together.
Yeah. Just never get together. Heal her and then kind of ghost her. And she ends up not liking me, but at least she like lives. And then maybe, and then if one day she comes up to you and she's like, dude, I can like walk through walls. I'd be like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's got to be tough, and I don't think it happens very often, but it happens a lot in television when you're a doctor and your romantic interest has to become your patient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a very different relationship.
Yeah, totally. It seemed, yeah, like you just have to be like, okay, one of these relationships has to go, and because like if I'm not your doctor, you die, mm-hmm. that means that just we can't date. It just means we right. can't date.
Yeah.
Mm.
In the show, he brings her to the diner that is owned by his ex-girlfriend.
Messy.
Wait, after reading her medical records and finding out she has a terminal disease.
Yes.
So he breaks HIPAA and then takes her for a late-night burger at his ex-girlfriend's restaurant.
With the hopes that she's going to get healed by the aliens?
No, I think he's thinking...
He's thinking step one here.
He's thinking like, first yeah. date. He's trying to go on a date with her.
I'm sorry.
Oh, because they've been making out. Restaurant? We skipped the part.
They've been making out. Oh my! At the hospital.
Yes.
Yes. In the operating theater.
No. While she
has to operate on herself.
While her chest like, cavity is open. He's no. Just like making out.
She has her operation. Uh-huh. End of an episode. About a week passes.
Okay.
Later, he has to take shrapnel and glass out of his own side. So he takes his shirt off, goes to the operating room.
Of course.
And pulls out the glass and stitches himself up. She comes in while he has no shirt on. They make
well,
out.
What's going to happen? Yeah.
Then 2 weeks later, we find out that they've been making out for weeks.
Ah.
Well, like since that yeah, was still since, their first since. Makeup, but they've been making out, and it seems like he's known this whole time she has this disease.
Oh yeah, I mean, but the show doesn't drop it on us until they're in the restaurant. It's insane.
Yeah, we find out that okay, and this is more, and we already noted this on another podcast, but. The viewer finds out that she has this disease by the guy that she's sort of dating telling his own ex-girlfriend. That's how we discover this information.
Interesting. So he's, I mean, that I think is, that's impolite for a doctor to do.
Yeah.
I'm less offended by a doctor sharing my file with another doctor. But wait, when doctor number two shares that information that with his ex-girlfriend.
Is his ex an alien?
No, but she's a scientist. Yeah. She's a biomedical scientist.
Okay, but so she doesn't need to know. She's not on need to know basis.
She needs to know
for the story, because eventually it seems like she's going to do experiments to try to save this girl. But I don't know that I don't know why he doesn't tell her like, Liz, we got to save this new girl I'm dating. He says, like, I'm freaked out. She's dying.
Oh, my God.
You're right. Colin, I'm with you. Doctors can talk to each other, but once you add ex-girlfriends, it's not cool.
It's too much.
No, exactly. I think that's like friend or, like, date code violation on top of HIPAA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, those kinds of records in the first place should not have been released, right? Like, those should have been under lock and key so that Kyle never got them.
Yes.
Oh, from what I've seen on TV, they're always just in a clipboard at the end of your bed.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like anyone can just grab it and look at it.
I think that's like that's high level shit. Like that, I think will say like what your allergies are.
What medications
like,
you're on.
That's your chart.
Mm. But I guess
so
that
only your chart's going to say, it might say your diagnosis. It probably does.
Yeah, it probably does.
But it won't have all the dirty details.
He's not going to have her entire medical history on there.
Right. Mm. But yeah, I guess that's kind of a question. It's less of a question for shippers and more of a question for doctors. I don't know what the ethics are of looking at charts.
Right. Should this information be released or not?
Yeah. Like, should any doctor be able to look at any chart in the hospital where you work?
Well, I feel like, I mean, and I know I'm no doctor, but I feel like if you're looking at the chart, to try and treat someone.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing. If you're looking at the chart just like for shits and giggles or like
to date them.
To date them, then that's like a different
kind of gross
thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's- but I guess once you know somebody is sick and they haven't told you they're sick, do you just play it cool until they tell you?
Shit.
Or do you sit? Because he saw her in getting an operation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that complicates that especially is that like he works at the hospital where she is receiving treatment. So like for him to pretend he doesn't notice it is also fucking weird.
Yeah. And it's not weird for him to know that if she's having surgery at the hospital he works. Yeah. Like,
I think it's okay
yeah.
for him to be like, I saw you getting surgery. Because that's, he didn't do anything wrong. He's just walking around.
Right.
But she might just be embarrassed by that and not want to have a relationship with him because of it. But that's, I mean, that's also her right.
Yeah. I wish that was why she's mad. She gets mad because she thinks he's only hooking up with her because she's dying. And that it's pity.
Oh.
Oh, well, walk to remember.
Yeah. Whatever you do, don't fall in love with me.
Impossible, oh, man, Mandy Moore.
Such a delight. The other day, I started reading Wikipedias of all the Nicholas Sparks movies.
Oh my God, Ryan, are you okay?
I think so. I mean, it saved me the time. I didn't have to watch any of them.
Great
but
point.
I was just reading all of them. They're all that's, sad.
That's amazing quarantine activity, Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, and there were some I was like, did I see this movie? Did I not? Because I have seen some, like, a percentage of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen the one with Amanda Seyfried and Channing Tatum, which feels like that cast. Why did I see that? I've seen all
yeah,
their
that's
other movies.
Your, that's yeah. your cast right there.
That was my, like, that was like made for Ryan, but mm-hmm. I never saw it.
Which would be different than if there was a Nicholas Sparks book that they were trying to make into a movie, but didn't.
But, or didn't come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, we're doing unreleased ships today.
We did it.
We did it. Beautiful. That was the third transition point.
Yeah.
I saw you, call. I saw you. this is what we're doing this because, like, nothing's coming out. None of the things that were supposed to come out are coming out.
Yeah, I think it was last week. I was fairly excited to see Green Knight, and I guess I was just kind of assuming it would hit like a streaming platform, and then I read that it will just not be released until further notice. So that's kind of what was making me think of all the things that we don't get to watch right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Green Knight?
Green Knight is like, it's like an Arthurian adaptation. It's a magical, what's his name? Gilead, I think. He's like the, if I'm not mistaken, he's like the good knight who goes to the Castle of Virgins in Monty Python, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, right. The nephew of King Arthur.
Yeah, but
go.
This
oh,
is...
Oh, it's the one it's with Dev Patel.
Yes, yeah. It's the one with Dev Patel.
Oh, yes.
It looks going, super, right? It's like action magic-y shit. It looks pretty fucking cool, man.
Or no, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight? Is it not Gawain? He's Gawain, right?
Oh, he's coming and going.
Uh-huh. It's G-A-W-A-I-N. Okay. Right. Is that how you pronounce that?
I've heard it pronounced Gawain. They might pronounce it something else in the show.
Yeah.
But I've heard people say Gawain for G-A-W-A-I-N.
So, no, that looks really... I'm down with Dev Patel leading all of
me
these.
Too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, I usually I'm not that into Dickens at all, but like the David Copperfield trailer, I was like, yes, I will go see this movie.
So do we have any unreleased ships?
Well, that is our theme of the episode, so hopefully we have at least a few.
Yeah.
Well, I have one, but it's messy, and I don't know if I like it, really. But it was the first thing that I thought of when we said unreleased ships.
I think you got to lean into your fears on this one, Patrick.
I know, and I'm going to. Are you guys familiar with the smashing, like the lost Smashing Pumpkins record?
No.
Is it's Machina 2, Friends and Enemies of Modern Music.
No.
So it was like it came out or like didn't really come out in all right. Sorry. In 1999 or like 2000, the Smashing Pumpkins broke up, and it was right after the record Machina came out, which was sort of like the first time that Jimmy Chamberlain was back in the band after he's the drummer. Mm-hmm. They had like kicked him out because he and their keyboard player were like doing too much drugs, and like the keyboard player like OD'd and died. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, Chamberlain, you're out of the band. And that's when they put out Adore, which is all of the like more sort of electronic rock kind of songs. And then they brought Jimmy back on to do Machina. And, you know, that sounds like old Smashing Pumpkins, is very like big and like, you know, operatic in a Billy Corgan kind of way. But the band breaks up shortly after this. And like, while they're breaking up, they're putting together all these other recordings from Machina for a set of records that they're calling Machina 2, Friends and Enemies of Modern Music. And there's this whole like insane like concept that Machina and Machina 2 are like built around. And the idea is that the character Zero, who is basically Billy Corgan, is in a band called the Smashing Pumpkins, but he starts hearing the voice of God telling him that he needs to like change his life. So he changes his name to Glass, and he changes the name of the band to the Machines of God, and starts to go crazy as he writes songs informed by this voice of God telling him what to do. And like the band becomes the biggest band in the world as like he goes crazier and crazier. And this is all put together, by the way, from like long dead websites and like a short like animated series that isn't up on YouTube anymore. And like interviews with Billy Corgan, like all piecing all this bullshit together that I was really into in 1999 and 2000. Mm-hmm. And so like he gets pulled out of this by like rekindling a relationship with a former manager whose name is Ruby. And like he's like telling her about like all of his like he's hearing this voice from God telling him to like be the biggest band in the world. And she's like, you're going crazy. Like you've lost connection to everything. And he there's a song on the record called Let Me Give the World to You. And it's about the idea of giving up his connection to this like divine voice so he can like not go crazy and like live his life with her. So like it's messy because it's still like it's basically autobiographical in a way. Because he's like a crazy man who like thinks he's talking to God.
Yeah, yeah. What does Zero change his name to in this
to Glass? Story?
Glass. Yeah. Can I offer a character to ship Glass with?
Ooh, yeah.
And it is not any less messy, but if you guys are familiar with the BBC 4 series Flowers, he really reminds me of Amy Flowers.
Of who?
Amy.
I
when
love
she's
Flowers.
Living in the church and she has her band and she's like, it's basically the same story. She's having a psychotic episode and like losing touch with reality and sort of getting sucked into this like world of these old paintings. It's really, really scary stuff. But at the same time, she is like creating the best album ever written. Because her and her band are just living like on this farm where there's an old like barn that they just rehearse day and night in, and she like is like breaking way new grounds with her music, and it's really exciting. So if you don't care about their mental health, get those two together and they will make an awesome album.
Well, and the thing that's crazy is like Machina 2 is my favorite Smashing Pumpkins record. Like it's so fucking good, and that "Let Me Give the World to You" song rules. Mm-hmm. That was just like the first. Whenever people talk about like unreleased albums or like you know projects that never saw the light of day, but that rule, this is the first thing I think of.
Love it. I'm gonna have to check it out. I have not listened to that album.
Yeah, I want to listen to it now. I've never heard it.
Mm-mm, me neither.
It's mostly available on YouTube. But I think I may have a burned copy of it somewhere in my house.
There is, I'm seeing a YouTube link, Machina 2 Part 1, and that's an hour and a half. How long is the album? My God.
So the album is made up of three EPs and one double LP. So an hour and a half should be the whole thing, I think.
Dang. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Does Billy Corgan have issues with schizophrenia?
I don't know. Possibly. Okay.
Well, because when you said autobiographical, I wasn't sure.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's a like autobiographical, certainly in the way that, like, you know, he pursued like fame with the band to the detriment of, you know, their keyboardist fucking died.
Right.
You know, so like it's obviously like the fame has taken a toll on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think it, like, that's how it's autobiographical.
Yeah. Here I'm seeing struggles with depression and suicidal thoughts. You know, don't see any specific diagnosis for Billy Corgan.
Well, and now he's like, I feel like now a lot of things he says are kind of batshit, right?
Isn't that he's kind of.
Yeah, but like he's been batshit
all along.
Yeah.
Since the mid 90s.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I thought mine was going to be the most depressing one.
Sorry.
No, I mean, it's different. It's depressing in a different way. It's depressing to me because it's a spinoff of a movie that I don't even like, but it got teased. Okay, so are you guys familiar with, and I think I've talked, maybe I've talked about it before, the movie Something Borrowed with Kate Hudson?
Oh, what was that?
Okay, so it's Jennifer Goodwin and Kate Hudson are best friends. Kate Hudson is like the vivacious center of attention one, and then her best friend is like the like sweet, hardworking lawyer friend. And Kate Hudson's getting married, but it turns out that the guy that she's marrying, her best friend has been in love with all along. So the plot of Something Borrowed is essentially the Something Borrowed is the fiance, and it's all about Jennifer Goodwin like having an affair with her best friend's fiance.
Oh my God.
And then they end up together. Like, the story is about the best friend and the fiance.
Wow.
Falling, you know, admitting what? Like, they always loved each other, whatever. It's a whole thing. But they make Kate Hudson, and she's great at it, they make her just awful so that you can swallow more easily that she's betraying her best friend and that the fiance is like that. Like, it makes it, tries to make it okay. Like, you feel okay at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's based on a book series, but it's like, so in the plot line, so they make Kate Hudson, like I said, they make her just like a shitty friend, and they make her like all these things. But also, she thought this person was her best friend, and she thought her fiance loved her, and then instead they are in love with each other and I think have a baby and like get together.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's like, and again, it's like supposed to be a romantic comedy, and it's like, ooh. But they also introduce a John Krasinski character, and the John Krasinski character is really is close, grew up with Kate Hudson. Like, they're both, there's also a lot of rich people in this movie, one of those. And so like they grew up as like friend, you know, family friends, rich people. And he is also close friends with the Jennifer Goodwin character. And at one point, like when Jennifer Goodwin is like, you know, she's in love with her best friend's fiance, like things are not always that easy for her.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, what if you were in love with someone who wasn't already engaged, like me? because I'm here and I'm hot and I'm rich and I'll take care of you. Like, whatever you need, we could have, like, we could have a life. Like, let's fucking do this. And she's just kind of like, yeah, no, like, you, I don't see, I think she doesn't say the words, but it's essentially like, I don't see you as a sexual being and I would never do that with you.
This is Jennifer Goodwin doing this?
Yes, to John Krasinski. And poor John Krasinski, but also, like, you know, from the beginning of the movie, you know where this is going pretty much. So.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's a road bump. But, and he's also, like, his dynamic with Kate Hudson is, like, he's one of the only people who kind of tells her when she's being, when she crosses a line or when she's, like, being too much, where he'll just be like, come on, like, this person's talking, like, stop your bullshit, like, whatever.
Yeah.
So he kind of has, like, an honesty with her, like, he doesn't, like, feed into her.
That's good for baloney. Her, I think.
But she's also, like, she's kind of the villain of this movie.
Yeah.
But at the end of the movie, she's pregnant by some other guy, don't worry about it. And she's in Paris, I think, or London, whatever. She's abroad. She's left New York because she can't be in New York because her fiance and her best friend are now married and have a baby. And Ethan, who is John Krasinski, is there. And this is the end of Something Borrowed. So this is the end of the movie that came out. They like set up this dynamic between John Krasinski and Kate Hudson where she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need someone to help me. And he's like, you always need someone to help you. He's like, I will be your friend. I'm not your caretaker. But like, wink, wink, beginning of another rom-com. And then they never made that rom-com. Oh, my God. And it would have been such, like, a more complicated. I mean, the first one was pretty complicated. But, like, it could have been a really interesting thing of, like, her growing and da-da-da. And, like, and him stop being a doormat because he's, like, whatever. But, like, no. Instead, we just never get that movie. But that's the movie I want. I want Monster Woman and Doormat Guy. To find their way together in Paris or London or somewhere. I think it's London. Maybe it's Paris. I don't know.
I love that. That's great.
So that never came out. I don't know if it was under contract, but they definitely set it up at the end of the first. Like, it's weird. Yeah. It's a weird. It's almost like an Avengers thing. Like, they hinted at a movie.
Yeah. I'm also looking at this, and it's a mid-credits scene. That's so.
Yes. It's
strange.
Like, and maybe the movie just didn't make enough money, or maybe something happened. Like, I don't know. And the book is it's a series of books.
Oh.
So, like, there is a book you could read about those two characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's more her, it's more like the Kate Hudson story, and then he's eventually her love interest. It's not like a two-hander, but, like, yeah. So it kind of bums me out because I think the two of them had chemistry. And for me, like, the Jack Ryan John Krasinski is less interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that's where he's decided to go with it.
Jacked Ryan.
Yeah. Is not, I think like the beta guy who like also like figures out his shit and goes after what he wants and like builds a life for himself is much more interesting to me than like he's a super.
Right.
Yeah, me too.
But whatever. John Krasinski should have the career that he wants.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, let's let him do that. Let's let him pursue his dreams of like DJing a high school prom.
From his home, of course.
From his home. From a safe distance. I do think, okay, now, I guess I'm going to put my dream out into the world.
Okay.
Because now that it's been like probably 10 years since that movie came out, since Something Borrowed came out.
Yeah.
So I'd be into like a 10 to 15 years later, Kate Hudson and John Krasinski.
Oh my God.
I think they do it. Movie. We got to do it where they reconnect over Skype and we have them shoot it, self-tape it. From home, and it's a series of conversations they have while stuck at home or living in different cities.
Yes, and Jennifer Goodwin sometimes pops in.
Yeah.
So, like, it's that kind of thing. Like, it's an epistolary, but with video calls.
And it could even be episodic. We could tune in and watch it live every week, like an improv show.
Yeah, I'm in. All right, so that was my unreleased, but it's kind of, like, it's I don't even love the first movie. I'm sad that I didn't get the second one.
Mogi, mine is also a John Krasinski unreleased shit.
What?
Yeah.
What?
For my unreleased, I chose Evelyn and Lee Abbott from A Quiet Place and eventually A Quiet Place 2.
Oh, but it's not out yet because of delays.
Exactly. It's unreleased. But I do, like, I love their partnership. I think it really rings true. Like the fact that they're married and the actors are married in real life definitely like shows in the performances. It's an effective horror movie. It's got tragedy. Children are being killed. Husbands are being eaten. It's kind of...
Did you know I have not seen it?
Oh, no?
Me neither.
No, me neither.
I actually... It's a movie that I've been dying to see because I really love horror and it's supposed to be a really good one, but it's just I haven't gotten around to it. But I was actually thinking, like, when I'm doing some work later today, I'll have that on.
Yeah, it's definitely... It's a good good action horror movie. I would highly recommend A Quiet Place. Yeah. So I guess everybody email me after you watch it this afternoon and let me know how you think about my show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy that you like it now.
I do like it.
Yeah, me too.
But it's like, it is like very much, you know, it's, they strike a really good balance in that, like, so they're living in this sci-fi world where there are monsters and their parents. So like their kids, like safety and, you know, like has to take a back seat to like everyone's overall happiness and stuff like that. But one of the things I really like is they do not like neglect their relationship. Like they're very sweet to each other. And Evelyn is like pregnant and almost about to have a baby. And he's like, he's just very good with her. He, you know, clearly makes an effort to make her feel beautiful and feel loved and amidst all the other stuff that's going on. I'd call it relationship goals.
Oh, that John Krasinski. Mm-hmm.
He knows how to direct himself to look real good.
Yeah. Okay.
Kelly, do you have one?
For mine, I have... I'm requesting assistance with mine.
Ooh.
Mm.
Because I have one person that I want to ship. And I, to be honest, just didn't have time to come up with another person. But...
I'll get out my dice.
I think we can come up with someone for this person. Okay. So, New Mutants. This movie has been pushed and pushed
so many times. It has a release date, though, now, right?
I believe so. Let's see.
August, right?
Huh?
August, right?
Oh.
We'll see.
Okay, sooner than I thought. But as of right now, still unreleased.
Yeah, I'll believe
Colin
it when I see it.
Colin is skeptical.
Yeah.
When did the first trailer for that come out? Like 2015 or something?
Seriously, like I feel like I was doing an episode of Fangirling and we were talking about this fucking and Alpha's like gone now. Like this is it's so okay, August 28th, 2020 is the as of right now ..
Right.
Originally intended for release April 2018.
That's crazy.
My God.
Holy shit.
So it's been a couple of years.
Okay. So it's been made. It was originally supposed to be a trilogy. Now it's not going to happen because it's been so long that Disney has acquired Marvel in the like in between like so this movie like whatever. And I don't even know if it's going to be good. It's been like, you know, made, reshot, la la la, final cut, blah blah blah.
Yeah, and it's a horror. It's made as a horror movie.
Yes.
So it was like back, it was kind of around when Logan was being made, where they were open to the idea of using the X-Men to tell divergent kind of different kinds of stories.
Which
instead
I think,
of the superhero mold that the MCU has kind of set forth.
Exactly. And I like that. Like I like you know, a kind of a twist on a superhero movie just because, like, you know, I like the Avengers movies, but there is a little bit of superhero fatigue and they can be kind of formulaic and blah, 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 whatever. But I've always liked the character of Magic, a.k.a. Ileana Rasputin. And the kind of cast of characters in this movie is going to be Wolfsbane, Magic, Cannonball, Cecilia Reyes, who's the mentor, Mirage, and Sunspot. I mean, those are the notables.
Yeah.
So can you guys help me ship Magic with someone?
What is it that you, so you're drawn to Magic, but like, what's the elements of that character that you really like?
I like that she, well, I like, this is like very surface, but I do mm-hmm. like her powers. I think that's cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I like that she can create the soul sword. I like the, like, what was the thing with her where she was like ruler of a hell dimension type thing? What was that thing with her?
I mean, I think basically that's it, right? Is that sometimes that she is like ruler of some dimension? I'm remembering a story where she is the sorcerer supreme at, like Tempest travels through to like a distant future, and magic is the sorcerer supreme instead of Doctor Strange.
Mm. Yeah, like, it is. It's a what if magic. Oh, wait, hold up. No. It's not a what if magic. It's, hold on. I'm looking this up right now.
But
Doctor
Strange,
the end.
Oh, okay. All right. Sure.
So, I think he's old. Interesting.
No, stop it. Stop.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see what's coming. Don't.
No. No, I'm not trying to ship her with Doctor Strange. Don't worry.
I mean, I do think one of the things that's super cool about magic is that she has mutant powers, but then also like studies and develops magic, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. she's the rest of the mutants, like they have their powers and they like work on developing those powers, but like she has that and also this like other discipline.
Yeah.
Like she's working extra hard.
Yeah. I also like that she kind of, I don't know if it's in the world of X-Men and like Marvel that this is necessarily true, but like at least in pop culture, I think it's also true in that she's like in the shadow of Colossus.
Totally.
Him being her older brother.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a thought, because I didn't know this. I found this from the Wikipedia. So if this has already happened, I apologize. But she does have a relationship with the Phoenix Force.
Yes.
True.
So I think what I'm into is Jean Grey, after becoming Phoenix and being destroyed, going to the limbo dimension and mm-hmm. having a relationship with magic there.
That's pretty good. The one thing is, I need Jean Grey to be in a messy ruffle with Wolverine and Cyclops.
She's not on that dimension right now, Patrick.
Okay, all right, that's
okay.
Fair, that's fair.
Yeah, she's not on that dimension right now, and we can make this messy if we want, because the Phoenix mm-hmm. Force is split, right?
Mm-hmm.
Emma Frost, Namor, Colossus, Magic, and Cyclops. After it was split in the battle between the X-Men and the Avengers.
Oh, okay, I've got a pitch.
Okay.
And it's very fanficy, but
when are we not?
Yeah, we can get with
okay,
that.
Okay, so I think it's that Jean, Ileana in the limbo dimension
uh-huh.
helps Jean return to be, because Jean really wants to be a Cyclops. And there's a little bit of like unrequited feelings there, but like they're friends and she's helpful, right? So she helps her.
Okay.
Emma Frost comes to confront her.
Yeah.
To be like, how dare you? I've been happy. Cyclops and I are doing yeah. well. And you fucking throw his ex-girlfriend in. Like, you don't even know what you're messing with, lady. And Magic's like, the heart wants what it wants. And my heart wants you. Let's make out.
Yeah. I like that.
That's good, too. Because I like that.
Honestly, like, I like, oh, okay. Okay, now this involves mm-hmm. perhaps, and I'm going to say hashtag DubCon. It's not uh-oh. Really, but you'll see what I mean. So Emma and Magic, it's not DubCon actually, because I think Magic has the ability to, like, she lets her in. So they're making out, whatever.
Yeah.
They're making out. Emma's like making out on her, and Emma stops for a second, and she's like really touched. And like kind of starts to tear up, but you know, Emma doesn't like to show it. So she right. kind of like quickly wipes it away. And Magic's like, what? Like, come back to me. And she's like, it's just no one else is here with us. And it's because, hold on, I'm gonna hold for this. And it's because she reached out with her mind. And usually when she would reach out, so she used to reach out with her mind secretly on Cyclops, and she would always see that he was on some level thinking of Jean. And when she reaches out with magic, and magic knows and kind of lets her in, magic's only thinking of Emma.
Aww.
And she's like, oh, there's like, I'm the only one here for you. And then magic says, like, why wouldn't you be? And then she's like, oh, fuck, I'm falling for her.
Oh, poor Emma Frost.
I know.
Yeah. I like this for her.
Yeah, she's this is good.
Yeah. And plus, like, Emma Frost just, like, on a very shallow level thinks that Ilyana is, like, very cool. And, like,
yeah, I mean, they're super powerful. Hot chicks. Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah. That's cool.
I like it.
Thanks for your help, guys.
Yeah, I like that, too. You came up with it, Kelly. You got there. I guess Mogi got
she
us
gave,
in,
she
into
gave us,
limbo.
She gave us Emma Frost and magic.
Emma Frost is always one step away from every ship we do.
Honestly, she's like one of those people. It's like similar to Buffy where it's like, you might have chemistry with every single person alive.
Yes. And any romance you have is going to be compelling because it's going to be complicated because of who you are.
Yes. I love that for her.
And it keeps our thruple for Patrick.
Thank you.
Protect those thruples, guys.
It's just such a comforting thruple.
I mean, not for the people in the middle of it.
I know.
I don't know how to end it. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. I'm panicked.
It's okay. I think we should say something about the nature of two people connecting with each other, or people connecting with each other in general.
Oh, like it's nice. Is that what you meant?
What?
Like that it's nice. Like then
hold on.
Like is that not what you were getting at?
It's hard to cheers that.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's like, nice. No, that doesn't. All right.
No. Maybe like the.
Wait, have we talked about Schitt's Creek on Mike?
Oh no, but I haven't caught up to the most recent season yet.
Nor have I.
Okay.
Nor have I.
All good, but on that show, there's a scene where David brings his boyfriend to dinner with the family. And Eugene Levy does a whole thing where he like raises his glass and he says,
"Oh yeah,
two
relationships."
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.